Welcome to Listen, Learn, and Love, hosted by Richard Osler. This podcast is a solo podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to communicate my LGBTQ position as a faithful member of the church. I've shared this throughout many podcasts, but I wanted to do a dedicated podcast so that all of my listeners know where I stand on this topic. This podcast comes to you from the front room of my home in Salt Lake City. It's a round table. Often there are people visiting with me, LGBTQ people or other people needing someone to talk to about some of the complicated issues. Most of the people I meet with do want to find a way to stay in the church. So I'm welcoming all of you in my front room as I share this. Grateful for your willingness to listen. Grateful for your willingness to understand our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. So let me start. There's about 16 points that I'd like to go over. Point number one, I am a committed and fully believing member of the church. When I speak about LGBTQ or anything, I do not speak for the church. Number two, I am not an activist. I'm not asking for any changes to policy or doctrine in our church. I'm not trying to get ahead of the brethren recommending what they should be doing. Further, I'm not trying to develop a following. I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm trying to make it about the LGBTQ people that I love and support, and using my position to help bring voice so that we can better understand them. Number three, I invite everyone to live the teachings of our church. I've seen great blessings come into my life and the lives of others by following the teachings of our church. Most of the good in my life is directly linked to great leaders, my family members, and the teachings of our church to help me come unto Christ. Number four, I love my heavenly parents. Jesus Christ is my Savior. The purpose of a restored church is to help me come closer to them. Making and keeping covenants are a key part of this journey. There is power in these covenants. Number five, God's LGBTQ children are some of His finest children. They are part of His grand plan. Their orientation and gender identity is a gift from God and should not be compared to the things of the world like pornography or addictions. Comparing one's God-given orientation or gender identity to things on the earth like porn, disease, or addictions is deeply painful and makes our LGBTQ members feel broken and full of shame. For my straight listeners, imagine your orientation as a straight person being compared to disease or addictions or porn. That would make you feel full of shame. I do not believe Heavenly Father wants a single one of their beloved children to feel shame. I believe shame is from Satan and is one of his greatest tools to separate from God. In saying all this, each of us, both straight and LGBTQ, has agency. Number six, this is actually added from my friend Christy Thornton Black from a comment on a Facebook post, and I decided to make this my number six. These are Christy's words. I also think it's important to try and view someone who identifies as LGBTQIA as more than their sexual activity. Often when we hear someone who has come out and automatically think of that person's identity only in regards to the physical act of sex or anything leading up to that. While it is definitely part of that identity, it's only a portion, for some a very small portion, for others a bigger portion. When I say I'm heterosexual, people's thoughts don't immediately go to my sex life. It's probably hardly crosses their mind. Just something I'm learn to remind myself of frequently as I become better acquainted with the stories of those whose lives are different from mine. Thank you, Christy. Number seven is this a trial? Trial is a sticky word with many good meanings. In general, regarding LGBTQ, I believe the trial is for everyone to be at peace with their sexual orientation, gender identity, and those of others close to them. Many have reported, such as parents and LGBTQ, great peace as everyone comes to terms with this. Most parents report after fasting, going to the temple and praying to simply Love your child. Trials also help us go closer to Christ and fulfill our life mission. But I do not think this is a trial that ends with one's sexual orientation or gender identity changing, like some trials where there is an end change. In my experience and what the church teaches, orientation does not change. Maybe it is like being left-handed, having red hair or blue eyes. No amount of praying or accessing the atonement of Jesus Christ is going to change these characteristics, and my feeling that these characteristics are part of Heavenly Father's plan for their children. Number 8, I need LGBTQ people in my life to help me become a better follower of Christ. They are teaching me things that straight people haven't fully been able to teach me, such as how to reach out and minister to the most marginalized. I see what Christ did. He seemed to start with the ones most marginalized, the ones that those in power deemed unworthy, and that's where he spent most of his time. And LGBTQ people set an example for me of doing the same. Further, I see all the good they do in society, often in careers focused on helping and serving others. Finally, I believe our church needs its LGBTQ members to become the church our Heavenly Father wants us to become, all members of the body of Christ. Number 9, about 5% of Heavenly Father's children are LGBTQ. I don't believe this is a mistake or part of the fall, which brought spiritual and temporal death in the world. Rather, I believe this is part of the great plan for this children, for their children. I would think, and I think all of you listeners would agree, that if our heavenly parents wanted all of their children to be straight or not LGBTQ, they would have had the power to have that happen. But as part of their plan that is not fully understood, they have allowed or set up by design about 5% of their children to be LGBTQ, and that extends to others, species on the earth. Well, if it's going to be accomplished, how would they do this? Through science. And as we know, priesthood is at the basis of science. And science is helping us understand how this is being accomplished. For further understanding about the science behind becoming LGB, please go to our website, listenlearnandlove.org. Then go to resources, then go to articles. Article number 2 is about a 5-page PDF that's the latest research or science behind understanding why some are LGB. I believe that further science will help us understand the T in that string of letters, transgender, and will help us understand our transgender brothers and sisters better. For them, gender identity is really what's between the ears and how they feel inside and is not their biological birth. Number 10, this is not a different community, but our own people. 5% of 16 million Mormons is 800,000 of our brothers and sisters. How many of you listeners have been to a BYU football game or have seen that stadium filled with cheering fans? 800,000 LGBTQ Mormons would fill that stadium 12 times, each with a different LGBTQ person, a beautiful child of our Heavenly Father. That is 2 full seasons of home games. These are our own people. This isn't a different community on a different road. These are our family members, our fellow members sitting in our congregations, our brothers and sisters. Number 11, while I invite everyone to live the teachings of our church, I support everyone in the path they feel is right for them. If someone enters into a same-sex marriage, they will have my support. What does that word support mean? For me, it means I will attend their wedding. I will give them a hug following the ceremony. I will like their social media posts. I will have joy in my heart as I honor their chosen path. Yes, their path is outside the circle of my beliefs, but not outside the circle of the human family that I love. I have felt impressed that I will not perform a same-sex marriage. That's a boundary for me. Others will feel impressed that that is not a boundary for them. But I want my listeners to understand my personal journey and my personal boundaries. As I read and study the life of Christ, I believe this is what he is teaching me to do, to support my friends that decide to go down the road of a same-sex marriage. Further, I feel no need to demonize someone in a committed same-sex marriage. Yes, as I've mentioned before, it's outside the circle of my belief, but it's not outside of the circle of the human family that I love. My straight marriage can stand on its own merits. Lisa Hansen, a therapist, a wonderful Mormon therapist that works with our LGBTQ, primarily youth, and has maybe done 3,000 therapy sessions, helped me to understand a principle. She calls it self-determination. And I'll read what that requires for a mental health professional. Self-determination requires that mental health providers see each client as a multifaceted person and advocate for that individual's right to explore, define, and live out their own life path. It is important that we use approaches that are respectful and compassionate to all lived experience regarding sexuality, gender identity, and faith. I love the idea of self-determination. That is the concept that I let other people know and come to know their own path in life. And then I support them. I don't advocate. That's kind of a sticky word. I don't advocate in the sense I get ahead of people. For example, I don't advocate for my LGBTQ friends to go into a same-sex relationship or marriage. I rather support them if they feel impressed that's their path. As I mentioned before, I invite everybody to live the doctrine of our church and follow its teachings. But if somebody feels their path is outside of that, I practice the principle of self-determination, that they know best as adults what is right for them, and I will support and honor that path. Next point is number 12. My primary goal is to help our LGBTQ members by showing how we can touch their cross. That is a term coined first for me by Sister Fiona Givens. And we touch their cross to know their unique and difficult journey. Then we can effectively minister them. The best way is to hear their stories. I've decided a while ago that I wasn't going to let straight people tell me about LGBTQ people. I thought it was probably best to hear from LGBTQ people. I've heard hundreds and hundreds of stories, and I feel like the mysteries of God, as we talk about in Nephi 3:7, have been opened to me a little bit about his beautiful LGBTQ children. The main focus of the website we set up at listenlearnandlove.org is to connect us with our LGBTQ brothers and sisters so we can touch their cross and walk on their road and help them mourn and comfort and bear their burdens, symbolically carrying their cross as we understand their cross. But I've learned as I touch their cross, they have lifted me and enriched my life. Sticking with this current point, in the June Ensign of 2018, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve shared a personal letter given to him from one of our gay members. I'd like to read that letter now. It's about two paragraphs. I face a lifetime of lonely nights and dreary mornings. I attend my YSA ward faithfully and each week leave church knowing that I can never really fit in. I will never teach my son to ride a bike. I will never feel my baby girl hold my finger as she learns to walk. I will never have grandchildren. I will come home to an empty house day after day, month after month, decade after decade, anchored only by my hope in Christ. Sometimes I wonder why he would do this to me and ask me to make such an impossible sacrifice. I cry at night when no one can see. I have not told anyone, not even my parents. They and my friends would reject me if they knew, just as they have rejected all who have walked this path in front of me. I will live life at the margins. I have the option of either being harassed and avoided for being single, or pitted and ignored for telling the reason. Life looms long before me. Is there no balm of Gilead? End quote. That story shared by Alder Holland is like hundreds and hundreds of stories I've heard and you, our fellow listeners, have heard. And so as we hear people's stories, we're better able to understand the unique road. Part of this unique road is it is different than a single straight sister. She always has hope that she will find a companion in this life or the next life. But as this letter so illustrates, and this heartfelt young man communicates, there is very little hope. Hope is something that I think everybody has a right to feel. So Elder Holland goes on to talk about empathy in his article. And I have empathy, and I think we all can have empathy. And as our LGBTQ members feel more comfortable acknowledging their orientation at church, I hope and pray that we can do a better job of understanding the difficult journey and create a sense of community for them so they can be authentic and open. That doesn't mean they're going to embrace the, quote, gay lifestyle and pair off and have a partner. Their orientation is just an acknowledgement of who they are. And as people come to love them based on who they are, family and our congregations, then their emotional health becomes much more better and their outlook becomes better. Point number 13, like society as a whole, our past teachings of our church on LGBTQ at times cause pain into our LGBTQ members. We need to acknowledge this pain to help our members move forward. I do not speak for the church, but I do see and validate the pain most of our LGBTQ members have felt or continue to feel. I will walk with you in that pain. Validating and holding pain is the key to healing pain. Let me say that again. Validating means we acknowledge other people's pain, even if we don't feel it, or even if their pain is sort of outside of our ability to understand. We still validate it. It's how they feel. Holding pain means we go there with them and try to understand how they feel, touch their cross. To me, those two things are key to healing pain. If that pain involves deep feelings of pain originating from our beautiful restored church, I don't believe validating that pain drives the wedge between them and the church deeper. In my experience, it actually helps heal and reduces that wedge as someone in the church, a believing member, acknowledges pain. I believe we are the restored church, but that doesn't mean we have been or continue to be perfect. This acknowledgement isn't permission for sort of what I would call aggressive attacks on our leaders that love and support. It's just an acknowledgement of where I believe we have been. Some of that pain revolves around conversion therapy. That's deeply triggering for some of our members. Some of that pain revolves around earlier held beliefs in our church and society as a whole that this was not a choice or that some backstory could explain this, such as being a victim of sexual abuse or exposure to pornography. My experience is there is no backstory. Yes, some have an exposure to pornography, but my feeling is pornography or masturbation doesn't cause or change sexual orientation. I've talked to members of LGBT that have been a victim of sexual assault. I've talked to our straight members that have been a victim of sexual assault. I'm not a scientist. I don't have the data, but I don't see a link there. So I don't think we should be looking for a backstory to sort of explain this. We've made some mistakes in the past trying to figure out a backstory, such as a dominant mother or an absentee father, as Tom Christofferson talks in his own books and how his parents struggled with that, thinking the fault was with them. There's no one at fault here. No parent should look in the mirror and think, I am the whatever I did or didn't do is the reason my child is LGBTQ. I believe it's a gift from God. And this is something that is more than their sexual orientation, but their essence. As I've shared in prior podcasts, most of the LGBTQ people I meet with eventually get to the point that if God put a button in front of them and they could push it to be made straight, they wouldn't push it because they realize it would wipe out their very essence. Now, many pray for a long time to have their sexual orientation change. So those that are still praying, I don't want to take that hope off the table. But my experience is the better thing to do is to pray to be at peace with this versus change this. And if you're a parent or somebody that's involved with somebody that's LGBTQ, my suggestion instead of pray to have them changed or fixed is pray to everybody come at peace with who they are. Number 14, I love President M. Russell Ballard, what he said at BYU in November of 27, quote, I want anyone who is a member of the church who is gay or lesbian to know I believe you have a place in the kingdom and recognize that sometimes it may be difficult for you to see where you fit in to the Lord's church, but you do. We need to listen to and understand what our LGBT brothers and sisters are feeling and experiencing. Certainly, we must do better than we have done in the past, so that all members feel they have a spiritual home where their brothers and sisters love them and where they have a place to worship and serve the Lord. I love what Elder Ballard says there. I encourage you to read that and reread that. If you're a local leader, a parent, or a friend, there's great advice to all of us that we need to listen to and do better than we've have in the past. I love that comment from Elder Ballard. There's no shaming of our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. There's just hope and also desire for all of us to do a better job of ministering to them. Many of my listeners are doing a great job of that. In fact, it's often your comments and your input and your post as I wanted to learn more about this that became very helpful for me. Number 15, and in closing, I end with this. I am still learning on this journey. I'm a 57-year-old man, married father of 6 children, but I have a lot to learn. What I'm saying is a work in process. I don't claim to have this all figured out, but I claim to be able to try to talk about it in the very best way I know how. And I do that by reading, praying, attending the temple, getting input from others, including my leaders that I sustain and support. This is all helpful for me. Please continue to be patient with me. If you're a local leader of the church, if you're an active member of the church, and there's anything I've said in the past that is unsettling to you, I apologize. If you're LGBTQ and I've said something in the past or even currently that's unsettling for you, I apologize. My goal is to build a bridge here, to bring understanding. I don't have all the answers, but I do try to communicate what I feel Heavenly Father is trying to help me communicate on this topic. I love the Mormon Church, and I love my LGBTQ brothers and sisters. I don't see this as a paradox. I don't see this as two different things. I see the action item or the actionable part of what my Mormon Church is teaching me is to love everybody. One of the things I tweeted out this morning was this idea that Mormons, because of our understanding of the plan of salvation, should be the kindest and least judgmental people on the earth. And I find that the more I learn about the plan of salvation, the more love I have for everybody, and the more I respect them for who they are, because I recognize where they are as part of God's eternal plan of salvation for all of His children. Some of those children will find their way into our restored church. But it seems like God has set up the world so that most of his children never find their way, as they're never exposed to the Mormon church. So I've learned to better appreciate the other religions of the world that teach good values and teach about family and kindness and respect. It seems like as I look at the world religions, some of the things they have in common is how we treat others. Benevolence, charity, they're different words in different religions. So I think we Mormons can do that the very best, and we can be the kindest and least judgmental. I probably need to repent in the past of being too judgmental of my non-member friends and seeing them as somehow lesser than me or in need of rescue. Perhaps they're just fine. That doesn't mean I wouldn't want to talk to them about the church, but it also means I need to be open to learn from them. I see everybody on the common road of humanity doing our best together. And I love our plan of salvation and the hope it gives me of the pre-earth life, this life, and the next life. And I know that we'll learn more about our LGBTQ brothers and how they fit in this glorious plan of salvation. And that will be helpful for parents, LGBTQ people. But I also feel, as I said before, less of a need to judge others. In my YSA assignment, I did have a role in a priest interview doing temple recommends to judge. But that was the exception. Most of my church life and currently now, I have no responsibility to judge anybody. I leave all judgment to the Savior and leave it as his feet and follow the example of Christ to love everybody. And I feel impressed to close this podcast in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening to another episode of Listen, Learn, and Love.